In today's gospel, Christ assures John the Baptist that he is the long-awaited one. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another? Jesus said to them in reply, Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me. As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written. Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Back in the early 1900s, there was a famous caricaturist and cartoonist by the name of Thomas Nast. His political cartoons made their way into all kinds of papers and journals of the day. He's the one, for example, who came up with the elephant as a sign for the Republican Party. He's the one who came up with the donkey as a sign of the Democratic Party. He's also the one, believe it or not, whose portrayal of Santa Claus has become more or less the standard image we have of Santa Claus. Well, one night, Thomas Nast was at a party with some of his friends. And they said to him, why don't you draw a caricature of everybody here? So he took paper and pencil and, you know, sketched a few things here out and put them down. Everybody was looking at them and they were chuckling. They could recognize, you know, all of the little quirks and foibles of their friends and neighbors and the caricatures. But many of them couldn't recognize themselves. They could recognize everybody else's caricature, but they really couldn't see themselves there. Interesting, huh? Interesting how it makes us wonder, do I really know myself? Do I really know who I am? Who do I think I am? Suppose somebody today asked you, who are you? How would you answer that question? Would you be tempted to say, well, you know, I'm such and such an age, I'm married, I have three children, I work in such and such a place, I live over here. Is that the way you'd identify yourself? Suppose the person asking the question was not disinterested in those facts, but what they really wanted to know was, what kind of a person are you? What do you believe in? What's important to you in life? What are you striving after? How would you answer those questions? And suppose the one asking those questions of you was God. What do you believe in? What are you striving after? What's important to you? How would you identify yourself to God? Well, today in the gospel, Jesus gives us the answer to that question, how we need to identify ourselves to God, or rather, how God identifies us. The answer is by the things that we do. That's what identifies us. That shows who we are, the things we do. And we see that in the way that Jesus identifies himself today to John the Baptist. Remember, John the Baptist originally had pointed Jesus out as the long-awaited Messiah. Remember, he points to his disciples and says, "Follow him. He is the Lamb of God." But John's in prison now. And Christ is taking a little bit longer to do the things that John thought he was going to do. So John's having a few doubts. Sends his disciples, "Are you the one who is to come?" Now notice the way Jesus identifies himself to John. He doesn't say to John's disciples, "Go and tell John some of my parables, my wonderful stories. Go and tell John how I'm teaching about the kingdom of God." What does he tell John's disciples to say about him? "Go and tell John, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the blind see, the poor have the good news preached to them." In other words, go and tell John what I'm doing. Go and tell John the things that I'm doing. And John would recognize those right away, because that's what the prophet Isaiah says in the first reading today, isn't it? "When the Messiah comes," the prophet says, "the blind will see, the lame will leap like a stag, the deaf will hear." So Jesus says, "Tell John I'm doing those things. And from the things I'm doing, he will know who I am." So, what's that say to you and me? That the things we do identify us. What we say, what we say we believe, all of those things have to be validated in what we do. What we really do is what shows truly who we are. For example, if you say to somebody, "My family is the most important thing in my life," and then you never spend any time with your family, is the family really the important thing in your life? Or if you say, "You know, I'm very concerned about the number of people who don't have enough food to eat," and then you never make any contributions to any charity to feed people, what do your words mean? It's what we do that shows who we really are. And interestingly, what we do either reinforces who we are or changes who we are. If you say, again, "My family is the most important thing in my life," and you don't spend time with your family, then you're weakening your ties with your family. If you spend time with your family, you're strengthening that. So what we do not only shows who we are, but makes us who we are. Let me give you an example of that. I always found a very powerful example. All of you, I'm sure, remember Senator John McCain, former senator of Arizona who ran for president at one time. But as you know, many of you probably know, he was a Navy pilot during the Vietnam War. He was shot down over Hanoi, captured, put in a North Vietnamese prison camp for 5 or 6 years, regularly tortured. It was an awful, brutal place. He tells a story in one of his memoirs of how it was just around Christmas one year, one of those years, and he was in a cell next to another prisoner, and he was trying to communicate with the other prisoner. And that was forbidden. You weren't supposed to be tapping on the wall and making sounds to try to communicate with the fellow prisoner. He was trying to do that, and he was caught. He was taken out of his cell. His hands and his feet were bound very, very tightly. He was thrown into a solitary confinement area, just basically laying there. Couldn't move his hands at all. He was there for a couple of days. And one night, in the middle of the night, the door of his cell opens up, and in comes this North Vietnamese soldier. Comes over to him, loosens the bonds on his hands, loosens the bonds on his feet so he can begin to move a little bit, a little more comfortable. The soldier goes out. A couple days later, McCain is taken out into the grounds. They're allowed to go out once a day. They walk around and get a little air and so forth. And he sees this soldier standing off in a distance. Soldier doesn't acknowledge him, doesn't recognize him, apparently. So as he's standing there, all of a sudden the soldier starts making the rounds, making a round of the area, like doing his, you know, due diligence on what's going on. He comes over and he stands maybe about five or 10 feet away from McCain, never looks at him, never says anything to him, just looking around at all the prisoners. But he has his rifle. And he takes the rifle and he kind of puts it down on the ground. And with the rifle, McCain watches him. And he draws in the sand, the soldier draws in the sand, the sign of the cross. Draws the sign of the cross in the sand. Identifying himself to John McCain as a Christian. See, that's why he went into the cell. He felt compelled as a follower of Christ to go into the cell and make this man more comfortable. And he did that, McCain says, at some risk to himself, because if he'd been discovered going into that cell inappropriately, he would have been severely punished. But he was a Christian, a fellow Christian, regardless of their political differences and whatever else, he felt obliged to go in and make him more comfortable. See, what he did showed who he was. What he did showed who he was. And so for you and me, what we do shows who we are. So, during this Advent time, we're asked to look at that. Who are we? As we await the coming of the Lord, the John the Baptist says, straighten out the paths of your life. Make way for the Lord. Anything that is in our life that's contrary to the kingdom, we have to get rid of. How will we know what it is? By what we do. What we do or don't do. That shows who we are. So let me conclude this morning with a little list. Somebody has suggested that if we answer the question, these questions honestly, we'll really come to know better who we are. So, how would you answer these questions? What do you do with your free time? That's who you are. Where do you spend your money? That's who you are. Who are your friends? Who do you choose to associate with? That's who you are. Who do you admire? Who would you most like to be like? Well, that's who you are. And I like this one. What do you laugh at? What do you think's funny? What makes you laugh? That's who you are. So as we look at those things, what we do, who are you? Who am I? Are we really disciples? Where do we need to be more disciples? Remember, what you do is who you are. May God bless you.